for the people to come and say to me, Ali Nui Mo'i. We want our monarchical government, or we want a democratic government, or what have you. And that'll be up to the people at that time. But once it's restored, we'll have all the wonderful benefits of the kingdom. I created a plan called the Aloha Aina plan. And the Aloha Aina plan works in harmony with nature, works in harmony with the land, that everyone here will have an opportunity to grow their own food, to be more self-sustaining, clean up the ocean, our fresh water, our all these things are in place to move forward. It'll create jobs. It'll create a cleaner, healthier living. We have a high rate of diabetes and heart problems, medical issues, because of the foods that we've been ingesting in our system. And these foods are not good. We want to get rid of the GMO. We want to clean up our soil so that they can grow healthier and good food. So there's so many wonderful things already in place to implement for us. And so this is what's happening here.
Can you say, prior to European intervention, what was the system of land ownership in Hawaii? Did the people own land collectively, or was it owned by private individuals? And what does restoration of the kingdom mean toward the land and the resources and the relationship that the people will have to them?
Well, prior to the Ili overthrow of the Kingdom of Hawaii and prior to King Kamehameha III, called the Mahele, when the division of lands, King Kamehameha III divided the land. A portion went to the royal family, and a portion went to the people, called the Kuleana land. But prior to him, the lands were never owned by any Hawaiian, not even the royal family, because our custom, our tradition, dictates for us to just be humble and to love the fact that Akua gave us this land. So the land was for all the people. Not one person owned the land. Everybody worked in harmony with the land. Until the missionaries and all these, a handful of these businessmen, they brought with them their ideology, their culture, and saying that, well, if you want people to know that you're rich, and that you are the king, or you are whom you are, you need to own land. And as you own land, people say, well, he's rich. He has all this land. Because the people then were told that if you own land, you have resources, you'll become more elevated in your status. These are part of the issues that, and the lies that that was told to my people, to the East back then and to the people. I want to carefully say here that my family, my ancestors, Ivi Kupunas, we call them, weren't always the wisest kings and queens. And they weren't, they didn't always make the wisest choices. They keep in mind that on an island, it's isolated. I'm not making any excuses, but we're isolated. You don't know what's happening outside of the world from these Hawaiian islands. And when they had an opportunity to embrace new cultures and new tradition, they were like little children. Wow, this is beautiful. This is wonderful. And because of that innocence, my people back then, they were exploited. And that exploitation brought new challenges. And these new challenges brought more and more problems until, but this one constant thing here that I want to say is that although these challenges came, the people knew that the land of the people was perpetuated in righteousness, and that this land belonged to the Kanaka Moles, to the people, to Malama, and to care for. of the days of their lives. Mm. That we knew. Mm. We knew that was true. We knew that we had to work in harmony with nature. We knew that we can take care of the lands better than anybody else, even the oceans that surrounded these lands. These are things that the Ali'is back then stressed. And therefore, back then we created fish ponds. We created lo'is, farmlands. And when all this was in place, the diseases today was not part of our culture. We didn't have all those diseases, even though even prior to that, when the whalers came here, they did bring their syphilis, gonorrhea, and all that stuff that nearly decimated the population of the Hawaiian Islands. But when the Hawaiians continued to eat their foods, their natural resources, they became well. They became immune to the diseases to some point. But anyway, I hope I've answered your question.
That was very helpful because that seems to always come with the assault on countries, the assault on the belief systems and things like that, that makes it easy for penetration by various kinds of exploitation. And this question of land, I mean, Europe was rather peculiar in the sense of this whole notion of private ownership of the land. Most other societies and cultures did not experience that. And that's, I was wondering about that. And I'm also wondering what that means, you know, toward the restoration of the sovereignty of the Hawaiian people. I have seen some evidence, only slightly, where you see this, of movement trying to develop in Hawaii, of the people of Hawaii actually talking about independence and restoring the sovereignty of the Hawaiian people. And I have found that extremely encouraging. And I think that part of what this discussion has to be about is attacking any kind of isolation that the struggle of the people in Hawaii may be experiencing, because you don't read about this from U.S. newspapers, generally speaking. And that's one of the reasons I thought the Moscow conference was so important, because there were people there from all around the world who knew nothing about the struggle in Hawaii, nothing about the people there. And so I think this is good. I'm hoping that there are people who would join this discussion. Our number is 727-565-1599, or we can be Skyped at Uhuru Radio. That's U-H-U-R-U Radio. Or you can go to dj@uhururadio.com and connect with us to join this discussion by email. Can you say anything more, Alim Nui Amoi, about the actual conditions experienced by the people in Hawaii? What are the conditions of the people? Are they respected and, you know, treated respectfully on their own land and their own country by folk who you have to call interlopers? I know in different places around the world, especially in the Caribbean, we see where our people have become servants of people who simply come there as tourists and other things like that. And Hawaii is often held up as this paradise for tourists, et cetera. I'm just wondering if we have a similar situation there where even the people...
We do.
Yeah. Go ahead. Talk to us.
We do. Yeah. We do have that. We do have a similarity. I'll ask a question. On their own lands. The answer is no. Not in my view. They're not.
I'm sorry. The taxation. Not, they're not what? I didn't understand. They're not what?
I'm sorry. You can you hear me okay?
Yeah. They broke up for a moment, but I hear you now.
I'm sorry. It's starting to rain here, and I'm afraid we may lose connection. If we do lose connection, my Ali'i Mana'o Nui, Lani Sinkin, is standing by to continue the conversation.
Splendid.
your question about, let me go back. Your question was, is my people respected in their own land?
Right.
Well, I have to say no, because if they were respected, the land would be back where it should be, back to the people. And I think that says volume right there. Because if the occupying nation truly respected my people and these lands, knowing these lands were stolen, they would restore it back to us, back to the people. So that is an easy question for me to answer. Again, the answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
Our people is not respected in this land because the thieves continue to occupy the land and continue to force us to move forward in our agenda to restore this nation, whether we go through the United Nations, the world courts, or doing what we're doing, just constantly going day by day, moving this nation forward and educating the world of the atrocities and the loss of this nation. You also talked briefly about where we stand as a nation. I believe you said something to that effect, but not in those words. As a nation and as its king, I am faced with several things. There's people who recognize me as a king. There are many who, there's many who recognize me as a king, and there's others who do not. There's detractors everywhere we go. But people who came before me and others in other nations, when you believe and you're convicted of what you believe in, then you continue to move forward regardless of what is there, because you know that what you're doing is the right thing. Restoring this nation is the right thing, is the proper thing, is the correct thing to do. And I encourage all nations around the world to stand in solidarity with me and my people in helping to restore this nation, as they stood with East Timor, who now has their independence, as they stood with my dear friend, God bless his soul, passed away, Nelson Mandela, who became the president of South Africa, as they stood with other great leaders, Mahatma of India. It goes on and on. These men were men of courage, men of conviction, and they were not necessarily the wisest men, but they had a strength, a power, and a will to move forward.
Let's see what
regardless
this,
of the consequences.
Let's see what this caller has to say. There's a caller.
Yes.
Caller, can you identify yourself and where are you calling from?
Yes, Uhuru, Chairman. This is Ann Hirsch. I'm in Seattle.
Uhuru.
And Uhuru, I really appreciate this conversation. I'm part of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement. And it's so wonderful to hear straight from the people what they want and how we as white people can stop being complicit with our government and support them in their righteous and honest struggle to retain their land properly. So I'm just very moved and inspired by the conversation.
Carla, did you?
Thank you.
Carla, how did you understand the situation with Hawaii early on? I mean, did you have any notion of a struggle or movement in Hawaii by Hawaiian people to re-achieve their sovereignty?
I had heard something a month or two ago, but I don't, you know, I didn't know any details, and I really appreciate knowing the tradition of how they hold the land and that they have a plan to take care of the land sustainably when it's returned to them. So, no, I had very little information. This is very important.
So, Ali Nuimoi, is there anything you would say to the caller at all?
Aloha. I appreciate your aloha spirit, and thank you for coming in to this discussion. This discussion is very sacred and very deep to me because we're talking about something dear to my heart, and that is restoring this nation back to where it was, where the air was clean and fresh and wonderful to inhale, the oceans was clean, the fish you could eat because there was no diseases, the land didn't have all its chemicals from the Monsanto group, the GMOs. We were a healthy nation. It is my goal to restore that healthiness back to Hawaii, back to the people. And when I say my people, I don't simply mean the Kanaka Maoli, the Hawaiians. I'm talking about all people dearly love Hawaii and want to be part of the kingdom and to be proud, with humility, to be proud of this kingdom and this leadership, because the leadership is in place to move forward the self-sustainable living, to implement our Aloha Aina project, to work with other nations around the world. This kingdom has a plan to talk to the world leaders about peace, to bring peace to one another. The Hawaiians call Ho'oponopono. We have now in our to-do list is to create and build a peace center here in the Hawaiian Islands. And by that, I mean that creating this peace center will bring the nations of the world here to find new ways to actually talk about peace and not about war, not about terrorism, but to deal with it effectively by first healing yourself and to move forward. The Hawaiians have been doing it for centuries, and it's worked in the families and elsewhere. I have sent letters to President Obama, to the State Department, to the United Nations, around the world, actually, encouraging leaders to come to Hawaii, that we can talk about ways that can bring about peace. And part of that peace is to restore the people, not just of Hawaii, but Puerto Rico and others, Africa and other places, restoring the lands back to the people, where it belongs, where it belongs. And that's part of the peace process. And in restoring the peace process and restoring the lands to these to the people who are more capable because they understand the terrain, they understand everything there because they live it, they know it, they love it, it's theirs. And as you restore that, you restore their health, you restore their mind, you restore their spirit. And that is what's important, and that is what I and many of my people and my the government, we strive for.
I think that's extremely important because there's an image that has been promoted by the forces who control our lands and our resources that somehow our becoming free and independent and sovereign people means that we intend to kill and destroy and maim all of those who have been a part of an occupying or a colonial power. And when the real in the real world, we haven't seen evidence of a people who have become free doing that. We've only seen those who take freedom away being responsible for the death and brutality and
mayhem
on people. Yes, to mayhem. And I think that you know what your statement does is reveal the fact that it is, generally speaking, the oppressed who just want to end oppression, and you can't experience oppression of the sort that we experience on a daily basis with our identities, our resources, our sovereignty, our lands being stolen from us. You can't be for ending oppression on the one hand and seeing our mission as to oppress somebody else. I just think it's extremely important what you've said in that regard. What I would like to know.
Thank you. Thank you. There's one more thing.
Please.
I'd like to add is that.
Go ahead.
There's a couple of things, actually. When you allow corporations to have their way, because government gives them tax breaks and so forth to have their way, as they lobby for presidents or prime ministers or whomever, they become a power source, a power broker, if you will. And they continue to call the shots. We're with governments here in Hawaii. Corporations, in my opinion, will not have a foothold on the people or on this land, and that these corporations will work in harmony with the government to make sure that the land is free of all its chemicals, and the water supply is free of all its chemicals as well, and it's all natural. I believe that it can be done. And I believe that it's not too far off, because the work we're doing is leaning more and more toward that end. And I believe that as Hawaii becomes truly independent, we then can be a model for other nations to follow. and as other nations see, and that's why it's so important for this government, the Kingdom of Hawaii, to implement the Aloha Aina project. And I've mentioned that several times throughout this interview. And this project will, in fact, clean up much of this mess that the corporations have brought to these Hawaiian islands and all lands throughout the world. What they do, they steal the natural resources, they steal the nutrients from the ground. The people are left decimated. They're left with cancer, health issues, all of the stuff that doesn't need to be there. Doesn't need to be there. And that is my mission. That is my goal, is to bring more of that to light, to bring in people of light energy, good energy, to help promote this, to help promote the Kingdom of Hawaii. And in doing so, we promote the proper way of life that we as people should be living, and not in fear of cancer, diabetes, heart problems, tumors, and all these things that continually plague us, not just here in Hawaii, but around the world. This is a huge issue.
Well, Uhuru, what I would like, Alimnui Moi, is
yes.
If you would, during the last 3 minutes that we have, perhaps tell our listeners what you would like for them to understand about the struggle, how they can relate to what it is that you are trying to do, contact information, that kind of thing. If you'd like to use the last 3 minutes or so for that, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you. First of all, I want to thank you for having me on your station and to speak to I hope that those who are listening will be encouraged to stand up and to make a difference, not just for Hawaii, but for themselves, that each time someone stands up against tyranny, against oppression, they stand up for righteousness, for things that are good. And in doing so, we become closer and closer as a human family. We enjoin each other as a human family. And myself, as the Aliinui Mo'i, again, this is very dear to my heart, is that, and if the listeners would go to kingdomofhawaii.info, and they will have access to all the stuff that we've been doing, all the letters that have been written, all the dreams and hopes and aspirations are all there for you to read. I would encourage you to read them, internalize them, be me as you read them, and let me be you to be the sponge to absorb what you're trying to read, and then we can be one in unity and in thought. I encourage the listeners to come to Hawaii and to learn what's happening here in Hawaii. I'd be very happy to come out and meet the people anywhere in the world to continue to promote the Kingdom of Hawaii and what we're endeavoring to do and are doing. This is, again, from my heart to yours. I encourage everyone to open their hearts, listen with their hearts, and listen with the spirit of law, and realize that we, the Hawaiian people, are not different from you. We bleed, we cry, we laugh, we sing, we dance. We all have ambitions. We all enjoy the various holidays. It's fast approaching. We enjoy birthdays, Christmas, anniversaries. We're not any different from you. The only difference is that our government, the Kingdom of Hawaii, was stolen by force, stolen because of our natural resources, stolen because the strategic area of where it sits, the United States wanted to exploit that for its military uses. These are the facts, and these are the reasons why we collectively can come together and to restore this nation to back to where it was. And I believe Hawaii can be and will be a viable nation where other nations can look upon Hawaii as a model as to how we came to our independence in a way that is pono, which is good. Again, I thank you for inviting me to your show, and I'd be very happy to come on again at some later time.
I want to thank you so much, Alinui Moi, and I hope you will extend our regards to your family.
I will.
I experienced the difficulties that you must be experiencing as a consequence of the loss of your mother and the illness of your father. And so please extend to your family our condolences, and also to the people of Hawaii, our solidarity. We are with you. Thank you so much. Uhuru.
Thank you. Uhuru. Aloha.